Welcome to the 72nd episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Today's guest is Tim Kaufman. He has a website called The Rantings of a Former Fat Man. So I think you'll enjoy his journey to a whole food plant-based diet and his journey to health. First, just to catch up on what's been going on in my plant-based world and plant-based cardiology practice. Personally, I just finished Ironman 70.3 in Florida, Haines City. So that's 70.3 miles for non-triathletes, 1.1 miles swim, and a 56-mile bike ride, and a 13-point-mile run. I got an entry from Epic Bike Stores. That's where we shop for our bicycles in Claremont, Florida, and they had an extra spot, so I jumped in, and it was mainly a training day for me, but I was happy to compete. I got to play with several friends from town that went up to do the race. I also had a 76-year-old patient who finished the race in 8 hours and 14 minutes and obviously won her age group. And I also had a reunion with friends from my daughter's high school that I hadn't seen a daughter and father team finishing each the 70.3. So it was a great day. Haines City is just around Orlando, Florida. So it's pretty close to Disney World for, again, people that don't live in Florida. You know, the amazing thing as a plant-based athlete, first of all, the post-race food, we basically had the choice of oranges, bananas, bagels, white pasta. But they did have some zucchini. So, I mean, we got our fill. We got some water with all that. So, I mean, we did get some post-race nutrition. It's certainly much better than in the past where they've just had, you know, Domino's pizza or something along those lines. The sad part was there's kind of a festival area for the families and children, you know, for something for people to do while they're waiting on, you know, their racer to come in. And, you know, it's the same with the carnival type food, you know, the fried onion rings and hoagie sandwiches and gyros and things like that. So, you know, it would be nice if there were a little bit more healthy choices available. But, you know, you can make the best, you know, the best of it. I will say that the athletes participating, you know, looked in good shape. Sometimes you see people that are just on their journey to health, and so they may have not got their nutrition under good control at that point, but for the most part, everybody looked pretty healthy racing, so it was great. I felt pretty good. I had a little bit of gator apprehension swimming in a lake in Florida before we started. You know, I look out at the lake and you wonder where the gators are. You know they're in there somewhere, but I wasn't in the first group or the last group, so you know, there wasn't much to worry, and I tried to stay on course as good as I could, so I didn't want to be gator bait. And the bike was a little hilly, but not horrible by any stretch of the imagination. The run, however, that was deemed around the lake was very hilly. We made 3 laps to complete the run course. So, you know, it was certainly good hill training for somebody that runs, you know, flat the majority of the time. So that was all good. Update on my patient that, you know, I keep talking about. I have a Vietnam veteran that's 85 years old that started eating a whole food plant-based diet, diabetic, coronary artery disease, arrhythmias, kidney disease, and he's down from 279 to 236 today. And I stopped his insulin completely today. So he's 9 medicines plus insulin off. So he's on 1 medicine to control his heart rate at this point. That's a very small dose, no cholesterol medicine. So I'm anxious to see how his kidney function is in the next couple of weeks. It was funny. He is very interested in losing more weight. He feels wonderful. He told me he wished he could run. Now, mind you, he was barely walking a couple months ago when he started this, and now he walks with a cane, and he's pretty spry at that. And he even told me he wished he could jog. So I said, well, let's get rid of the cane first, and then we'll work our way up to seeing, you know, how much we can get you out walking anyway. And his concern is that he has to travel up to Cape Cod for a funeral, and his family is driving him, but they've not been living with him, so they've not been in control of his nutrition. And he has, and his caregiver has been in control of his making his food. So they're actually going to pack food for him to take. And we talked about places that they stay and places that they eat, you know, what his selection should be. So fingers crossed that he gets up and back without too much trouble. It's very difficult to travel and stay out of oil and stay out of salt. And in his case, staying out of salt is extremely important given his heart function and kidney function. So, you know, I hope he does well. He's anxious to do well. So I, you know, and he's really, really on board. So I, you know, I wish him best and can't wait to see him when he gets back. My nutrition class met this week. I cooked a tofu scramble in front of them, and which was silken tofu, mushrooms, spinach, sun-dried tomatoes, onions, and then we had a cauliflower ceviche because we're doing this, you know, what would you do at a dinner party? So our appetizer would be a cauliflower ceviche, which had cauliflower and cilantro, red onion, cucumber, and tomato, and a lime dressing. So that went over well. People in the class are doing well. This is 4 out of 6, so we're starting to see some good weight loss and some cholesterol-lowering numbers, so that's all encouraging for everyone. People are starting to get on board, and you know, we went through and talked about the different vegetables that everybody had over the last week. And, you know, I'm happy to report that, you know, there was quite the list and quite the variety because, as Dr. Greger has said in a recent video, that, you know, the more variety of vegetables that you can eat, the more nutrients that you get, the better combinations of nutrients that you get. And, you know, it becomes like a symphony. So, you know, an apple has a different symphony of antioxidants and vitamins and minerals as different from a zucchini, but they're all very important. And if, you know, as all the good things interact, only good things can happen. So, you know, we listed the vegetables and gave people ideas for different meals that they could cook based on other people's suggestions and then based on combinations of the vegetables that were already up there. So it was a really good class. Our local meetup group, which is Charlotte County Plant-Based Vegetables, Charlotte County Plant-Based Foodies, who eat vegetables, met up this week. And actually, we did a round table with me leading the discussion on water fasting. So we did a Q&A, and I told them about my water fast, which was only 3 days, but enough to get some interesting observations. And, you know, we discussed those and, you know, gave people ideas if they would like to try a fast, either intermittent or a 3 or 4 day fast. And so I'm willing to help anybody that, you know, wants to do a prolonged fast. I think if you're going to do a fast over 2 days, you need to be in contact with your physician. You certainly should contact your physician before you fast if you're on medications, because you won't need your blood pressure medicines and you won't need your diabetic medicines. So it's really important that you do this under the care of a physician if you have any illnesses. But it's a great way to jumpstart your healing process and to start to get off your medications. And then obviously you want to transfer into the fast from a plant-based diet, and you'll transfer out onto a very strict plant-based diet, no salt, no oil, no sugar for the best results. So, you know, if anybody has any questions about fasting or trying that, then, you know, give me a shout out to my email or website. And of course, Dr. Goldhammer has a wonderful fasting clinic at True North Health in California. If you're close by or have some desire to get a prolonged fast of greater than a week. So check all those things out. I'll leave Tim Kaufman's contact information at the end, and certainly it'll be in the show notes. So I hope you enjoy the podcast or the interview with Tim Kaufman. Welcome, Tim Kaufman. I saw Tim Josh LaJohnny, who I've had on the show before, posted a post from Tim, And Tim's blog is The Ranting of a Former Fat Man. And he talked about how he would like to go for a run with Josh someday. And as you know, anybody that's heard my podcast or follows Josh Lajani, he's lost a tremendous amount of weight and has become quite the ultra marathoner. But Tim Kaufman, on the other hand, he's lost a lot of weight too, and he's become quite the cyclist and mountain climber and runner himself. So I don't think he gives himself quite enough credit for what he does. And I heard, you know, I saw his post, and I was taken aback by not only his accomplishments, but his humility and, again, desire to be a lighthouse. And that's what, you know, this show is kind of all about, is to show people that, you know, change can happen. And how does that change happen? Because, you know, not everybody can. We see shows, you know, like Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, where people see people changing but don't want to take the chance. And then we see people like Josh and Tim that just embrace the challenge and do fantastic things. So it's my pleasure to welcome Tim. So welcome, Tim.
Thank you very much, Jim. And thank you for doing what you do. It's one thing that you're a doctor, but then on top of that, an endurance athlete, but then to top it all off, you do this podcast, and I really appreciate you spreading the message. So thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, it's I started listening to podcasts when I run, and that's actually how I came to incorporate plant based nutrition in my practice, because I heard there's a woman called Vegan Running Mom, and there's another guy. He has a podcast, or he has a website, This Running Life, and I'm blocking on his name real quick. He's a professor down in Alabama, and they were talking about forks over knives, and that led me to watch the DVD, and it's like, you know, the light bulb went on for me as this is what I want to do in my practice, and it really was life-changing for me because I got to start having success with my patients, and it became very exciting. And, you know, I've experienced change with them. And, you know, it's nothing, there's nothing better than to see somebody succeed. You know, you're also a teacher, so you have it multiple ways. So,
right.
So tell me, you know, were you heavy all your life, or is this something that happened, you know, after you got out of high school and college and kind of just got off the movement wagon? What happened?
I was big my whole life. I kind of grew up on a farm. I live in kind of a rural community here, and that's kind of something all the kids do around here. They grow up and, you know, they work on a farm to make some extra money. So I was a big, hardworking guy. You know, I was fit, but I was always overweight. In fact, I'm going to guess I was at least maybe 250 in high school, towards the end of high school. So I was always big. My family was always big. My entire family is big. And every holiday, every get-together, anything you did was based around food. So I've been big my whole life.
And, you know, you peaked out at about 400, right?
Yeah. Actually, the last time I had an official weight at the doctor, the ceiling was up to 350. And I definitely went up from there. And I think if I remember, I forget whose house I was at, but they had a scale that was digital, so it would go up past that. And, so it was in the 390s, but I know I went up from there too, but I ended up, for sure at size 52 pants. I do remember that because I was running out of the, big and tall stores. I was almost, you know, in the top size that they had for me.
And had you tried various diets over the years, you know, up and down the usual yo-yo as everybody does?
You know, not really. I never really died. The only thing I did do probably 12 years ago, I went on the Atkins. My family, they're professional dieters. they have been on every diet. They have literally bookshelves full of programs. They've been on everything. And so I believe my mother at the time was doing Atkins diet, and so, you know, what could be better than bacon and cheese and burger every day? So I did that for a while, and I actually probably lost like 40 pounds, mm-hmm. maybe even more than that. But as soon as you start eating, you know, normal food again, if you call it normal, you gain it back with interest. So,
you know, getting back to the so you lost the 40 pounds on the Atkins diet and then kind of gained it all back, and so you just kind of wrote it out then for a while.
Right, right. I mean, if you're going to lose weight, it's going to come right back on. To be honest with you, I mean, I was overweight and it was uncomfortable, but I kind of used my medical condition as kind of an excuse for all this stuff. So
yeah, you have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which is a real increased mobility of your joints, which, you know, like you said on your website, it couldn't be worse, you know, being heavy with. But you had a lot of joint issues, I would guess, and you know, again, can't exercise because your joints hurt, right?
Right, and I hear that from everyone even now, and it makes me cringe. But so basically, everything I do, I mean, even now that I don't have any pain, I have nothing compared to what I used to live in. But if you would pull on my finger, it will actually like dislocate right off of my hand. It's pretty gross. But I mean, as far as Ehlers-Danlos goes, I have the good kind because that's hypermobile, but there's a whole slew of other things that deal with heart and all sorts of other stuff. So actually, yeah, I was pretty blessed to get the hypermobile, but it made life hard all the way around. If I go for a walk, I mean, almost every step, my ankles would just move just enough to inflame everything around. So basically, and I think this is not just an Ehlers-Danlos thing, but I think a lot of people live with this every day, inflammation and atrophy, one of my two biggest enemies. And that's really what put me on the couch, and that's really, you know, where the weight issues really got bad.
And you know, so what was the kind of trigger for you that, or, you know, how did you find out about the plant? What led you on this plant-based journey?
Well, I never actually woke up one day and said, oh, I want to change my life. It's just a series of events that kind of all meshed together. I don't know if it could be recreated, and to be honest with you, I wouldn't want it recreated, but we've had, you know, problems. My father had kidney disease in his early 40s. He had a kidney removed, and he was on dialysis for quite a while. So we had, like, sickness. I have EDS. My sister also has EDS, and then my other sister has MS. So, I mean, we weren't strangers to medical stuff, but nothing, like, crazy. And then one day my wife's mom got really sick, and she just wasn't getting better. So we took her in, and she was diagnosed with leukemia. And she was in pretty rough shape. And I don't need to get into all the details, but she was really sick, and she was a really, really great woman. And my wife and her were, like, best of friends, as was I. My wife and I got married in our early 20s. Actually, I was 20. And we had been dating since, like, ninth grade. So I kind of grew up over there. She kind of grew up over here. So we are very close families. At the same time, my father got diagnosed with kidney cancer. He ended up getting a transplant probably 15 years before he passed away. So he had a transplanted kidney, which got cancer. They gave him 6 months to live, and he made it 6 weeks. So all this stuff is going on, and you start... You know, it's not that you get to dip your toe and you just get plunged into, Roswell is our big cancer hospital here, but you just automatically get, you know, immersed into this whole world that you've never seen before. And as you walk around, I'm trying to do this without getting emotional. I apologize.
That's okay.
You start walking through, like, the pediatric wing, and you go through leukemia after they're doing, you know, they kick your immune system down to nothing, basically. So you can't go outside. You can't go anywhere. And this is happening to little tiny kids. And these kids, the kids really bothered. They would do anything, you know, to just walk outside and go play. And then I come home at night after we got all the visiting done and all our chores done and everything that we had to do for the day. And you start, you know, pounding down pizza and stuff and then complaining about how bad you have and how bad you hurt and why you could never walk because your knees hurt so bad. And then you start looking at this side of it, you know. And you realize that at any given time, any one of those people would trade places with you instantly. And that kind of started changing my heart a little bit. Started making me grateful instead of bitter. And at the same time, those things started happening. I was just getting bigger and bigger. And the focus, I mean, when you're that big and you're an addict, as I definitely was, your focus is all on you. It's very selfish. And people may or may not find this offensive, but when you're where I was, I don't care what addict it is, what your drug of choice is, it's selfishness to the people that are around you. So here I am. My wife's got to worry about her mom if she's going to make it through the day, and she's got to put my socks and shoes on, you know, her husband, before he goes to work. And, you know, to see the pain, there's just pain everywhere. And I was actually causing some of that pain. So I figured I have to do something. So it's a very long story, but I'll make it as short as possible. I decided to look into either a lap band or a gastric sleeve. So I went to my doctor. Or no, I didn't go to my doctor yet. I did all the research. I actually called the company that does this here in Buffalo. I set up everything, did the paperwork. I was scheduled to go to a meeting in August, and I thought it was a wonderful idea. I couldn't wait to share it with my wife. And my wife has supported me through everything I've ever done, even the stupid stuff. But this one, I couldn't sell this one short. So I figured I had to go get clearance from my primary care physician, and we knew him real well because I used to see him almost every 2 weeks. I was on some pretty serious painkillers. I had been on them so long, I built up such a tolerance to them. It was actually on fentanyl, among other things. So I had to go a lot to get prescriptions, and I used to get my knees drained like every 30 days. So I knew him real well. And I sat down, I laid out my plan, and he said that he signed off on the surgery for every single person that's asked. And he said, I will probably sign off for every other person that's asked, but I can't sign off for you. And I was devastated. I thought this would be a second chance at life. And his reasoning was, with my joint condition, he was worried that I would lose weight fast. And as a result, I'd lose muscle. And then my joints would no longer hold me up, and I'd be in a wheelchair. So he wouldn't do it. That was probably a turning point right there. So I decided I had to look for other ways. My wife was pretty happy about that, by the way. So I just happened to be sitting in front of Netflix like I do almost every night and sitting there, you know, with whatever I was eating. And Fat Sick and Nearly Dead showed up. And I'm like, that sounds like me. So I watched it, and it just happened to be close to the first of the year. And I'm like, man, maybe I could try this for like a New Year's resolution thing, which I've never been a fan of New Year's resolutions either. But so I ordered a juicer, a super inspirational movie. Are you familiar with the movie?
Yes, yes, I've seen both of them.
Yeah, it was a... It really inspired me, but I had no clue what I was getting into. So I just ordered a juicer on Amazon, and first of the year came around. And this will be, actually, that was 3 years ago, January. I'll never forget it because the last piece of meat that ever touched my lips was pickled herring at New Year's, and it's disgusting, and I hate it, and I have no idea why I chose that. That is the last meat I ever ate. But, so I started juicing. I had no clue how I was going to do it. And I remember we went to the store for the first day, like our normal grocery store. And so I bought, you know, a small bag of vegetables, brought them home, ran them through the juicer, and there was like 3 spoonfuls of juice in the cup. So I'm like, yeah, this isn't going to work. So what had happened, I didn't realize it at the time, but what that movie did for me, the juicing, it got me having to search for vegetables and produce in places that we normally wouldn't go. And me and my wife never shop together. You know, where I live, you know, shopping is just not a guy thing. It's, you know, your wife stops home and picks up groceries. We did not actually buy a lot of food from the grocery store because we ate out so much. We did a lot of takeout. Probably 4 days a week we'd have pizza and wings. So it got me into the grocery store. And then it got me into produce companies. And then I actually started researching, where do restaurants get their carrots from? How can I get a 50-pound bag of carrots? So that's what we started doing. Started buying, like, in bulk. And, you know, because it takes so much to juice. So as I'm going through the 30 days, I'm feeling better, more energy, arthritis. Like, no one would ever believe this. I literally have X-rays and MRIs, the arthritis literally just started melting. Especially with my fingers were very noticeable. Like, you could see big lumps on my knuckles. They would just disappear. And for like 30 days. This is not like a long-term thing. And I knew that this was unsustainable. There was no way that I could juice the rest of my life. So, and Netflix, it always puts, you know, because you watch this and then it recommends something. So Forks Over Knives came up in my queue, and I watched that, and I was just coming, you know, to day 30, and I'm like, I wonder if I can do this for another 30, but I'll basically just eat what I'm juicing. And little by little, I felt better and better. I started sleeping through the night. My sinus is usually so bad. There was a couple days I actually went to the emergency room. I had so much sinus pressure. No more sinuses, allergies. I mean, it sounds like too good to be true, but my eczema went away. Sleep apnea, my wife, she used to have to shake me in the middle of the night because she thought I died because I would just, like, literally stop breathing. All these things, like, within a couple months, just started disappearing. And I never went out to, like, exercise, but I started feeling good enough that I wanted to go for walks and stuff. So I kind of hate telling people where I am now with my diet because I don't want to turn someone off, because at 400 pounds, if you would have said, you know, whole foods, plant-based, stay away from the high-fat nuts, avocados, I probably would have threw a burger at them. So, but it was small little changes, you know, along the way.
It's kind of funny because I'm the person that you would have thrown the burger at. So I'll take note of that when people come into my office, that if they're carrying any burgers, that I'm liable to get them thrown at, because I see where you're coming from. You know, so that, and you wrote in your blog, you know, the small, you know, small steps, and you had a calendar, right? That you had marks what you did every day, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah, the food, and I don't even like calling it fitness or exercise, because again, I had no intention of exercise. I have been taught my whole life exercise is a bad deal. It's thermodynamically, it is a bad deal. If you eat a Snickers bar, you got to run a 5K. I don't know if that's a good trade. You know, I would eat the apple and not run, I guess. But so from an exercise, you know, exercise for weight loss, not a good deal. And I kind of already knew that. But my thing was moving. The reality was, within a year, if I wasn't in a grave, I was going to be in a wheelchair. I could not walk anymore without crutches, canes. I shouldn't have done this. I threw a lot of them out, but I had 3 18-gallon totes just stacked with, like, splints, immobilizers. I mean, it was crazy. Air casts. And it was typically once a week I would dislocate something so bad that I was on crutches. So most of the time I was hobbling around from some injury or another. So to say, oh, go run a 5K or something, that'd be ridiculous. But what I did to for the movement part of it, I think in my blog I refer to it as graceful movement instead of exercise, because I was grateful I could move something. So that was the key. I mean, I couldn't get upstairs yet, but I could walk a couple paces. So I focused on what I could do. And if I could do something, I knew that I could do a little more of that something. So I still have the journal upstairs. So day one, I had just broke the arms off my office chair, trying to get out of the chair, because I used to use my arms to get up because my legs were so bad. So I got a new office chair, and I figured, if I can get up out of the chair once, well, why can't I do it twice? So that's what I did. I'd stand up out of my desk, I'd sit down, and I'd stand up again. That was it. That was like a big deal for the day. And then I'd come home, and I'm like, well, how'd you do? So I'd write down how I did on that one. And the next day, I wouldn't just get rid of that. I would do that the next day with the chair, but I would start going up the stairs. If I could get up 3 stairs, then the next day I would go down and do 3 more. And just little by little, just persistence and consistency, just keep going a little bit more than you did yesterday. You don't have to kill yourself. Just go a little bit farther than you did the day before. And it just started snowballing.
And how long before you got to the point where you started going on these longer walks?
Well, again, a lot of this is like kind of busting stereotypes, because my wife would say something like, hey, you want to go for a walk? And I'd be like, why, what's wrong with your truck? Is it broke? You know, I didn't understand yet. Why would you go for a walk when there's a perfectly good vehicle in the driveway? So, but I did, and me and her went together on a bike trail, and of course I had these big plans that, you know, I was going to walk a few miles, but I made it 0.74 miles, and there was a bench, and they actually had to walk back and pick me up in the car. So that was like my first walk, and I still actually drive there just to run by that bench a couple times when I'm training, just. The bench needs, like, so much. I know it sounds weird, but that was like, my first official, like, I'm out here just to walk type thing, because I want to walk. So then it just kept progressing. So we made it 0.74. Well, let's see if I can get there and back the next time. And then, you know, before we knew it, we were walking 4 miles and 8 miles. And at the same time, I had a really good friend who happens to be my cousin. He started reading about the Adirondack Mountains, and he wanted to climb one. So he had been walking every day in the parks and, like, under trails, and he worked his way up to go climb one. And when he showed me the pictures, I just felt melted. I wanted to be up there so bad. So I set a goal for 1 year, and I got a pair of hiking boots, and I just kept walking on the weekends, a few miles more than I did the week before. Probably not a good idea, but my idea was to walk as far as I could until I couldn't walk anymore, then sit down, have some lunch, and try to get back to the car. Because the only way I was getting back is on my own power. So, yeah, we started walking up hills. I started doing a lot of stairs. And we summited Big Slide Mountain, and that would have been on July 6th of 2012. And it took 13 hours. It was about 92 degrees. And I really, there was a couple of times that I really thought I was going to be dead. So, and that kind of kicked off the whole month. Since then, I think I've summited 8 of them. And we're planning on going to do Mount Washington this summer. So I love hiking, and I love being in the mountains.
Fantastic. Yeah. And now, do you lift weight? I mean, you look like a bodybuilder in your pictures now. When did you start lifting weights?
Well, that was actually, I never really lifted weights. I mean, I played a little bit of football in high school, but not much. And I always worked really hard. But the weight thing came from because my joints would not hold me up. So, like, since I was a teenager, I haven't had ACLs. They're like, all that you can see on MRIs is little nubs where they used to be. And I just never got them fixed. I didn't even know there was a problem. So my knees are super wobbly. And in order to get up the mountain, you got to really be using your quads. It's a lot of work. So you have to develop some kind of strength. So I just started messing around with some lightweights just to get range of motion. And then I didn't really start lifting heavier weights till like last year. I only did it for about 9 months, but I saw like crazy improvements. To put it in perspective, 3 years ago, I couldn't pick a piece of chalk up off my floor if I dropped it. And when I left in June, I just about pulled deadlifted 500 pounds. I think I had like 485.
Wow.
So it's quite a progression.
Yeah. You live in Buffalo, so I'm going to mention Heinz Ward, and you know, you're not close enough to throw a hamburger at me, but he doesn't have ACLs either. And, you know, people, you know, that's kind of always, you know, you're tore ACL, you're done, you're kaput, you can't do anything anymore. And, you know, yeah, you're at a disadvantage, but there's a lot of people that, you know, like you say, you're a testament to what you can do if you get your muscles strong around your joints. Right.
Correct. Actually, the research I've done on, I think Thurman Thomas was another one that did not have ACLs. I believe, and that's where I learned about this, he really focused on hamstring strength. Mm-hmm. That's really the issue. If you can build your hamstrings, it'll actually take over for your ACLs. So the stronger my legs got, the more stability I got, the more I was able to climb and push, and the whole thing kind of snowballed. I'm kind of not built for the cardio thing, but for some reason, something keeps drawing me to that whole endurance thing too. So I don't know.
It's probably the, you know, I wonder about it myself. We talked last night, and I told you I ran my first marathon to raise money for the American Diabetes Association because everybody had diabetes in my family, you know, and now I think about all these organizations. It's like, you know, don't raise money for them. Just tell everybody to eat plant-based. But anyway, I thought that I actually just lost my train of thought as far as, you know, I know the reason why we do this, you know, and I never even thought about it. But when I finished, my mother came up to me and she said, well, I hope you got that out of your system. Or did you get that out of your system? And I was like, well, you know, to tell you the truth, I think I could go a little faster, you know, so that became the, you know, well, maybe I can get a little faster, or a little, you know, do another one or see how many I can do. And something about the pain of, you know, it's going to hurt. But the feeling that you get afterwards for, you know, maybe, you know, again, like you were talking about, we have it so easy. Most of us, I know I do, compared to, you know, my father had worked very hard at an outside job and did a lot of lifting and, you know, worked late hours. And I always felt guilty that, you know, as a physician, yeah, I worked some late hours, but I didn't have to lift anything and I was inside. And, you know, for some reason that the endurance athletes, it's like you make yourself suffer a little bit. So, you know, you kind of know you can. And it takes you to a place where I guess you appreciate maybe the suffering of others, or you just kind of, you know, I don't know what it is either for sure, but I think it's an experience that is like no other.
I think the mental part has something to do with it for me too, because I realize that it's so typical of life. I'm getting too philosophical, but you know, to run an endurance race, it's so much more than being fit. I'm learning now, because my first one hopefully will be on Memorial Day weekend, that, you know, it's not about the 26 miles. It's about the 6 miles 26 times.
Yes.
And it's about going all in. It's not about the marathon itself. It's about changing who you are. And, you know, we have to do a lot of schedule shifting, and I almost feel sometimes selfish, because this last month or two, I already know this is going to be, you know, running is going to be my priority on the weekends, and then what else can we get done? And I feel bad about that, but at the same time, it's kind of like life. It's kind of like a plant-based diet. It has to be a priority. It's not the easiest thing in the world as far as planning, because you can't just stop at a burger joint. You have to think ahead, and it's for the long term, and it's a mental game. And maybe that's why I like it. I don't know.
That's pretty good. So now tell me, so there's a movie and a documentary kind of in the works called Big Change. And tell me a little bit about that. Joshua Johnny is part of it, and who's behind it all?
Well, actually, Joshua Johnny kind of sent my contact information to Jason Cohen. And Jason's a photographer, and he's a producer, and he's a really, really fantastic guy. And he kind of introduced himself to me, and we kind of became pretty close friends here just through messages and on the phone over the last month or two. But what he's working on is when he's looking at Netflix, when he's on the treadmill or whatever, there's a lot of plant-based movies. There's a lot of diet lifestyle, but he really wants to focus on the inspiration part. So what he's trying to do is put a documentary together that'll feature, you know, four people that have went through a big change, and just kind of give a glimpse into their day-to-day life and tell their story. And the cool part is he has a really cool story too, because he's lost over 120 pounds and sustained it, and he's plant-based now too. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I just pulled up his website. So, I think that's great. You know, Josh talked about, you know, the lighthouse aspect of it, and I think, you know, like you alluded to, people just don't know where to start. And from my aspect of it, I don't sometimes know where to start to help people when they come into the office. And that's my quest. That's part of the reason why I do this, to talk to people. It's like to educate me. So thank you for educating me. You know, I learn a little bit in, you know, a little bit more insight into it every time I speak with someone. You know, people come into the office and I've got the 15 to 30 minutes to try to, you know, convey to them my thoughts and beliefs on things, but it is overwhelming, and I know it is. And I've learned to try to read people a little bit and kind of see where they're coming from and back off when I see the look of fear or I'm going to kill you in their eyes, and go a different approach, you know, and come around the back side of it. You know, and then when I can, you know, but the more people I have like you to talk about and share the stories with, you know, the better it is. It helps me to see things from your perspective. I know that, you know, no one wants to be unhealthy, and I know no one wants to be, you know, terribly overweight. Even, you know, when people try to justify it and say, well, I'm happy being me, they're really not. I don't believe, you know, it's they're trying to be happy with themselves regardless of how they are, which is a different thing than being happy being overweight. And, mm-hmm. You know, correct me if I'm wrong there, but it's like that to get people to have the courage to start, or, you know, all of a sudden suggest it, because sometimes people come to me to get clearance for those gastric bypass and the lap bands, and it's like, I don't want them to do it, because I just think that, you know, you're being maimed when you get that done, and your body is being changed forever, and then you're going to have to live with all the consequences of that. So if I try to, you know, it's like, well, before you, you know, really go that way, can you try this for a little bit?
Right. It's hard when you're on, see, the problem for me is now being on both sides. I know what I would have listened to, you know, then, and it honestly probably wouldn't have been much. And the cool thing is, with so many people talking about it, we all come from different backgrounds and we all have different things that make us tick. So what's a trigger to some one person is totally not the same trigger for someone else. For me, I started writing on my blog every week thinking that I would be, you know, writing about healthy thinking. But for some reason, everyone wants to you know, go to the food. Well, what's the food? But when I look back, you know, 3 years ago, that's what I, what if you don't eat meat and you don't eat dairy and you don't eat oil, you don't eat any processed food and you don't eat any sugar, well, there's nothing left to eat. Now that that's kind of just like a natural thing, a lot of times it's simple. For my Facebook page, I make it kind of a little more gourmet. People see all the food that I put on Facebook. That's not really the food I eat every day. That's maybe like a once-a-week treat or just an experiment. But basically, if I didn't have potatoes yesterday, I'm going to have them today. And if I didn't have rice yesterday, then I'm going to have rice today. And then everything else is through the vegetables and fresh fruit. And it's that simple. But people always focus on the food. And it's weird because after you come out the other side, you look back and it was, this had nothing to do with losing weight. It had really not too much to do with getting my health back. And it had nothing to do with the food. It's about a change in thinking. And, you know, if you could take two things, you know, and run with them, it would just be eat plants and be grateful, because gratitude can drive you to do just about anything. I really believe that. I think we all get, you know, even at 400 pounds, of course it's depressing. And I did. I put the happy suit on too. You know, I made a joke out of it. You know, I even was trying to order that one shirt that says something about I beat anorexia. You know, here, you know, get that in 5X or whatever. You make a joke out of it. You know, you laugh it off. But really, that's just, that's pain you're trying to cover up. And, you know, there's nothing funny about that. But I would act like it was funny. I would act like it was a big joke, you know, be the kid that says, you know, you're going to eat that. You know, and that was me, you know, it was funny and people laughed. But at the same time, I couldn't catch my breath going upstairs. My blood pressure was 255 over 115. There's nothing funny about that. So looking back, if someone would have came to me and said, you're being selfish, that might have triggered something. Because the truth is, at that weight, I didn't really care too much if I made it through the night or not. But I cared about my family. So I think the more people that talk, the more stories that are out there, the more triggers hopefully can get pulled to get people to connect with certain personalities in certain situations.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have the courage to actually, you know, call somebody on being selfish, you know, that I didn't know. I don't know that I could do it on anybody, you know. I mean, sometimes you're at a disadvantage. You know, it's like I came from heavy people. My family, they're not more, no one was morbidly obese, but they were certainly significantly overweight. And, you know, Irish and Italian on both sides. Well, my Italian grandmother was, you know, morbidly obese, especially for the day, you know, in the 70s. And every meal was, you know, everything was about food and all this kind of, you know. But it, you know, so I knew where I didn't want to go. You know, I recognized that early on that I didn't want to go down that path like them as far as that goes. But I never really recovered from something. But I've always had to work at it. You know, I mean, and I always had to work at, you know, just about everything. I never considered myself smart. I considered myself, you know, just being somebody willing to sit in a chair for hours on end to learn something. But you know, you don't portray that. You know, when somebody comes in the office, they see somebody that's relatively thin and lean, and I've got marathon pictures up on the wall, so, you know, it must be easy for you, and then I'm going to preach, you know, I'm the reformed whatever, you know, and it's difficult. Right. So, you know, I always try to, my go-to line when I see people getting irritated with me is, you know, I'm from West Virginia, and I never ate fruit that wasn't in a pie, so I understand. You know, it's like... And it's true, you know. I mean, that's really, when I look back on it, I think, you know, I didn't eat any fruit that wasn't in a pie. And, you know, we ate, you know, I didn't eat very good. I mean, I did everything bad that everybody else did. Maybe not in the quantities because I didn't have access to it. But, you know, I ate, you know, Twinkies for breakfast and all these kind of sugary cereals that I, you know, I'm telling people, don't buy your kids for this. You're killing them now, you know.
Right, you know, right.
I've done it all. So it's... You know, it's a different perspective on all of it. But, you know, again, I think that, like you say, everybody comes from a different place. We're all trying to get maybe to this, you know, a similar place. We just want to be able to walk and, you know, or be able to move around and not be uncomfortable. Right. You know, so I really do appreciate you sharing your story. And I also think you're an inspiration for your students, because I've spoken at, you know, my local high school, and, you know, there's the junk food in the high schools, and what these kids are exposed to is much worse than you or I were exposed to. I mean, you know, at least growing up, there just wasn't the availability that there is now. And these kids don't know vegetables, and they don't know, you know, they've not had, you know, whole plant foods, you know, a lot of them, you know, maybe ever. And they're at such a disadvantage. And I think you're a remarkable example for them.
Thanks. Yeah, and we grow a lot of our own food now. When I say plants change my life, they've changed every aspect of my life. We bought a small property. It's not huge, but I have probably a quarter acre garden. I have a 40-foot greenhouse. We converted the basement. Half of the basement is, we call it the veggie vault. That's where all our canned goods go. And then the other half is a grow room to get, right now I got 250 kale plants sprouting down there ready to go outside. So the kids are really interested in growing stuff at home. And so they're getting their parents to put garden in, and it's really cool. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's where it's at as far as, you know, teaching people where their food came. I'm the same way. You know, my parents had a garden, and my grandparents had a garden. I worked in it growing up. And then when we moved to Florida, it just, you know, it became, you know, something I didn't do. There was bugs out there that, you know, kind of would eat you alive, and I didn't want to be a part of it. It seemed like I'm allergic to anything that would bite me. But since I went plant-based, you know, we've, you know, started growing things on the porch, and then now we're doing raised beds, and, you know, now I'm trying to plant tropical fruit trees, and I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
Well, listen, I won't take any more of your time. I want you to keep in touch with me as far as the big change, and I'll follow you and all that kind of stuff. So I'm anxious to, when that comes out, and, you know, hopefully help you promote it. And, you know, I wish you all the best of luck in the world with your Mount Washington climb and your marathon and your century rides. You're going to do 500 milers in 5 days. That's coming up, right?
Yeah, that makes me tired of thinking about it. I need to buy a new seat, too. That reminds me.
Sella Italia, that's our bicycle seat of choice. Have you ever ridden on one of those? If you haven't, look into it.
No, I have a racing seat, and it's terrible. It was a lot of money, too. I don't even know who makes it, but what was the name of that? I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, Sella Italia. It's S-E-L-L-E, and then the second word, Italia, I-T-A-L-L-A. Yeah, I've been through a lot of seats, you know, and then, of course, then you go through a lot of bicycle shorts because you're not sure if it's the seats, you know, more is less is more, you know, less seat, more short, less seat. But got to the point where on our tri bikes, we kind of settled on those for the tri bike and the road bike. They're really comfortable. So check one out. Go to your local bike, and I'm not sponsored by them, but go to your local bike shop and have test one out.
I will. So then I had to get, I was still super big, so I had to get like a 29er, a big mountain bike. And man, once I started going on that thing, I love pedaling. The problem is I don't focus on anything, you know. I go from the kayak to, you know, now I'm thinking a half Ironman would be really cool. My wife's like, but you don't know how to swim. I'm like, well, I could change that. I could swim, you know, maybe I'll like swimming.
I think it's a great, and, you know, and it also gives you, you know, you're kind of cross training of speak. So you're training different muscles and everything's working so you don't get bored. And the beauty of it is just kind of being outside again, like you said. And, so it's, you know, it's great. It's all great.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is, if you're outside enjoying new experiences, doing new things, I don't really care how good I get at them. I push myself. I push myself pretty darn hard. And I like PRs, and they make me happy, and they taste better than any food I've ever had. But at the same time, I would much rather, you know, instead of just, you know, hammering pedals, being, you know, for a whole year on a trainer in my basement, I love snowshoe. Man, I do as much activity as I possibly can. Not because I'm trained, not because I'm not. I'm just enjoying life. Me and my wife's entire marriage has literally done a 180. And we didn't have a terrible marriage or anything, but our marriage consisted of work, paid bills, sat out on the couch. I knew every movie that's ever been, you know, released for any video store. We had it. We watched it. Our TV never was on. I didn't even know why we pay a cable bill. Because it literally, I could hide the cord and no one would ever know. And we pack, like, we call them adventures. We go on so many adventures. We'll just pick up on a Saturday. Hey, I heard about hiking trails 2 hours away. Let's go. And I don't know. We're having a blast.
Fantastic.
We're having a blast.
Check out this book. It's called Can't Sleep, Can't Train, Can't Stop, More Misadventures in Triathlon. And it's by Andy Holgate. I forget how I came upon this book, but it's hysterical. It's this guy from England that took up triathlon and basically couldn't swim, and his misadventures. And it had me laughing out loud as far as, you know, going to the pool and what he, you know, decided to take on. And I think it's, you know, it was, you know, as an adult, wasn't a young guy, you know, he started doing this. And then, you know, one thing pretty, you know, everybody, of course, we're all going to jump to the biggest distance we can jump to. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah, my friend's trying to get me. He goes, why don't you start with a sprint instead of a half Ironman? And I'm like, oh, I feel like a sprint, 5K. He goes, trust me, if you put all three of them together, you're going to be tired. And I'm like,
you'll get a workout.
Maybe it's an Olympic one. I don't know. But I guess the transition is
it's kind of good.
It's
kind of good to go through the motions of, you know, just going from one sport to the other, you know, in a shorter distance. You know, as the progression on just how it goes, you know, how do you get your swim cap off and your bike shoes on and your bike shoes off, and you know, that just the kind of logistics of it, the shorter distance is good. But yeah, you'll probably want to go longer, quicker. So anyway, all right, well, I'm gonna let you go.
What was the author's name again?
Oh yeah, his name is Andy Holgate. Holgate. Yeah, it's really, really funny. I'll put it on my show notes as well. And it's a really funny book, you know, because it just, you know, you see yourself, you know, and the stupid things that you've done and tried to do, and you know, and that's the fun of it, you know. I mean, I always come back and I always have some sort of, you know, stupid story. So I come back to the office on Monday after a marathon, and you know, what stupid thing did Jamie do this time? And you know, there's always something. You know, there's always something that I've, you know, I'll do. And so I got to the point where it's like, well, you know, my patients will say, well, how'd you do? Did you win? And it's like, no. And well, when did, you know, what was your place? And it's like, I don't know, 10,000, 12,000, you know. And it's like, well, and I had this one little 95-year-old patient, and she said, well, maybe if you practice, you could do better, you know. And it's like, well, I have to take care of you. So, you know, but it just, you know, I live through the experience. I have fun and I have stories to tell. So that's kind of, you know, how it goes.
Yeah. You did the full, right? If I remember right.
Yeah. I've done three full Ironmans and, you know,
I don't know if I was reading or listening to one of your podcasts. You did a marathon, full Ironman, and then another marathon within a few weeks of each other.
Yeah, it was, marathon, Ironman, marathon within an 8-week span. That resulted in a little tendonitis that took a while to get to go away. I had some
I can imagine.
But, so that was my claim to stupidity. So we decided we're going to spread those out just a little bit more this year than that. But they just, you know, like you say, you find that they're exciting. It's like, oh, I want to do that, and I want to do that. And they just happen to be close to each other. So it's like, okay, we'll deal with that as it comes.
So. Yeah, and then you start telling yourself, well, I'm already trained. Like, I'm already at a level, because that's what I keep doing with these stupid half marathons. I'm going to run one. And then I end up running five. You know, it's like, well, my wife said, really? I thought this was the last one. Well, here's the thing. This one's in 2 weeks. This is just a training run, you know? I'm already at the level I need to be, so I just got to get a little faster. So it kind of gets out of control
sometimes.
Yes,
my boyfriend text me, and basically I just got signed up for Ironman 70.3 in Florida next weekend, and I did a marathon of, I don't know, 4 weeks ago, and I did a half iron distance in January, but really I hadn't swam until this morning since January. It's because of the tendonitis I got from that sequence of three in my ankle. So swimming made it worse. So I wasn't swimming. I just kind of got myself rehabbed enough to do the marathon in March. And so I went to the pool this morning, you know, to see if I could make it the distance, you know, what I needed to do. And I walked back into my master's, you know, I was like, where you been? And it's like, I'm back, you know, and start the train again. So we'll see. Tomorrow I'm going to go for Sunday. I'll go for a long bike ride. And if I can hang through it, I guess I'll go and see if I can do a 70.3 next weekend.
That's awesome. Well, so I hope you do well.
Well, thank you. I hope I'm hoping to live. So
that's always my good finish, as long as I'm alive.
Exactly. Next, nice I'm alive, and so we'll go from there. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Good luck, and thank you for taking time.
You too. Thank you for doing this, Jamie.
All right.
Have a good night now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the interview with Tim. You know, I was listening to it again as I was editing all the dog barking out, or some of the dog barking out, and I realized, you know, he started out from not being able to get in a chair. Now he's talking about doing back-to-back half marathons, and he's hiking. And so it's so fun to see people become excited about moving, happy about moving, excited about how their progress has become, feeling well, feeling healthy. So it's just, you know, no limit to what you can achieve with good nutrition. You know, I mean, I hear people talk about, you know, it sounds like snake oil, but it really is true. If you feel your body right, it's able to handle a lot, and it's able to heal itself. So, you know, eat healthy so you can live healthy and happy. I guess when I was listening to it also, you know, I finished the 70.3, and then I talked about it at the end. So it's kind of backwards, but, you know, I'm sure you understand. Check out Tim's website. It's fatmanrants.com, the rantings of a former fat man. He had a new post, and he talked about, you know, maybe there shouldn't be an I in team. And, you know, he made a really good point. You know, a lot of people complain about not having any social support, or their spouse doesn't support them. But, you know, he made a good point that his spouse supported him right into becoming, you know, almost 400 pounds. And oftentimes you do, you know, you meet someone and you're having so much fun going out and doing all the wrong things that, you know, you both balloon up together. So it's not always just about getting healthy together. You can also get sick together. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. You know, he made a great point, you know, change your thinking, eat plants, and be grateful. And he, you know, he's a very humble man, and he's accomplished a lot. So check out his website. He has certainly a lot to offer, and he's another lighthouse for everybody, and especially students, you know, that may be struggling with their weight as well. The other thing that I thought was funny when I was talking to him about the triathlon and, you know, doing it so that you get the logistics. And one thing I forgot to tell you about the Ironman 70.3 that I just did, I actually got stuck in my wetsuit. I guess my left leg stuck in my timing chip, so I spun around on the ground. So, yeah, I had a funny story for this event as well, as I always do. So take the good with the bad, and, you know, it's always good for a laugh. So I hope you enjoyed the interview with Tim. And if you want to contact him, certainly look, all his information's on his website. You can contact me at jamiedelaney@gmail.com, and it's jamiedulaney@gmail.com, or drdelaney.com is my website. So take a look, send me a good rating on iTunes. I'd always appreciate that. And if you have any questions, contact me. So until next week, be well, plan strong, and get out there and get some sunshine. Thank you.